Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Secrets Left Behind by Shannon Redman. The more clues they uncover, the more deadly the investigation becomes. After surviving several attempts on her life, Skye Anderson knows Detective Jake Reed's suspicions of foul play about the accident that killed her husband must be true. Someone will stop at nothing to keep the truth hidden, and all signs point to a drug ring Skye's late husband was investigating. Can Jake keep Skye alive and identify the killers pursuing her?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hemmerker, your host, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have with me Shannon Redmond, and you can read more about her in the links to this podcast. But thanks for joining me, Shannon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's great to be here.
So we're going to talk a little bit about one of your latest romantic suspenses, Secrets Left Behind. But first, how did you get into writing in general? What drew you to writing?
I have been writing for a really long time since I was a kid. I used to write poems and I would write songs and I would write breakup letters for my friends' boyfriends. When they wanted to break up with their boyfriends, they'd be like, Shannon, can you read this? Or can you write this? How could I say this without, you know, hurting his feelings, right? So it kind of grew from that. And I used to go, my mom used to take me to the bookmobile. We had a neighborhood bookmobile that came through every week or every couple, it might not have been every week, it might have been like every couple of weeks or something. And I started reading all kinds of different books, like Victoria Holt books and Nancy Drew books and just all kinds of good books. Victoria Holt's were my favorite. I loved the balls and the gentlemen and the dresses and the big estates. And you would think I'd be writing historical fiction, right? But no, the parts that really drew me in were she would always weave a thread of mystery through her stories. And that's what would pull me in. And so then as I've gotten older and kind of developed my own writing style, then I find that I like to write what I read, which is romantic suspense. That's what really draws me into writing. So I would write like stories and I would half finish them. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I would write and I would get like halfway through and I'm like, I don't know where the story's going. And I would just quit. And then I would start another one and then I would quit. And I would tell my husband, I'm just complaining. Like, I want to be published author. I want to be a published author. Mm-hmm. Finally, I think it was in 2015 or the end of 2015. He looked at me and he said, just finish a book and then you can worry about being published. So I did. And then I was like, well, what do I do now? And that's when I discovered Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference. And the rest is kind of history. Just kind of all, I entered that world and you just, you know, you get hooked and you don't turn back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I think I should do a poll on Facebook from all the authors. Christian, if you read Victoria Holt.
Yes, exactly.
I think we all did. I'm like, I'm just totally with you going, yes.
She's fantastic. I go back and read her now though. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's head hopping all over the place in her stories. And I'm like, all the things they tell us not to do now, she made it into an art form. So
yeah, she did. Yeah. That's just funny. Anyway, you're not the only one. I was a huge fan too. Read so many of those books. And Grace Hill, I read a lot of hers too.
Yes.
I think it's always interesting, you know, you're talking about not finishing a book. I mean, that was, I really think that's what separates those who want to be writers and those who are writers, right? Mm. I mean, because for years I was the same way. I would just be like, this one's not working. Let's go with the shiny new one. Woo! This has all the possibilities and none of those crazy mistakes. And then I realized I just needed to write the whole thing. Whether I did anything with it or not, I needed to write the end and not just write it in the middle when it wasn't really the end, but the real story finish end.
Right.
And I found that the National Novel Writing Month really helped me.
Oh, right. Nano. Yep.
Yeah. So I started doing that where you write 50,000 words in the month of November, which is for those who don't know, Love Inspired and Love Inspired Suspense, there are supposed to be about 55,000 words. So this was like, could be a complete story. I just found that exercise, you know, winning a couple of times, just really helped me to get through that mucky middle and
murky middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Those, you know, and those books, there's many of them that will never see the light of day. Every once in a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah. If I have a little time, I'll go back and I'll look at one. I'm like, that wasn't too bad. But I'm like, nah, I'm still not ready to rewrite the
thing. Yeah. Mine need to just completely start over. Probably when I look back at those first manuscripts, and I'm just almost horrified that I even showed that to anybody. And funny how you think you know how to write, and then you learn how to write, and you're like, I didn't have a clue when I first started writing, but you learn. And that's what's really cool about it.
Well, if you talk to any writer who has been writing for a while, even the ones that we kind of look up to, you know, the ones who hit the bestseller list,
yes,
have a lot of contracts all the time and all that kind of stuff, they'll go back and every once in a while look at the rights back to some of their earlier books. Yes. And they're like, oh, I have to rewrite this. This is like, and I see that on some of the listservs, that author listservs email groups that I'm in. And that just makes me smile and feel like I'm part. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm not the only one who looks back at my earlier writing and goes,
yeah,
that's just awful.
You're not alone. Yeah. You're not alone. I'm in the same way.
Comforting, because it shows that we all are constantly growing and evolving and becoming better. And I think that's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about, that my first book is not going to be as good as my current book, which is not going to be as good, hopefully, as my future book.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I think I love about writing, is that it's a constant improvement process. You get better and you continue to learn and you continue to practice and you continue to grow as an author. That's part of one of the things that I love so much about writing. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned also conferences, and I think it's always a good idea to, you know, continue to attend conferences. I had someone ask me, and they weren't arrived, like, well, why do you keep going back? And I'm like, well, there's always stuff to learn. And and as you meet more author friends, you know, you want to see more people and you want to talk about the craft. You just never know what those connections are going to bring. But it is, there's always something to learn. You know, not every conference has, like, every class is going to be beneficial to me or to you, but you know, there are some classes that, okay, well, maybe I don't need to know how to show, not tell, but there's other things that I could learn and I could glean. And having that open mind, I think, is what really, like you said, makes writing exciting.
Yeah. And the business of it, there's such a, you know, there's a creative side to it, mm-hmm. and there's a business side to it. And I think I've learned more probably in the last year or so about the business side of it, the publishing side of it. Obviously you still learn the creative side as well, but there's a huge business side. And that's, for me, I tend to be drawn to those classes now as I kind of continue in that writing path. I've drawn more to the marketing classes and the business side of things. So that's kind of neat to see those classes. I hope those continue to be, you know, given at the conferences that we have. So.
Yeah. And I know, although I'm sure I am not the only writer who longs for, but would not mind a return to the write a book and send it off. And that's all you have to do.
I would love to give up the marketing piece of it.
Yes, I know. And it was several years ago when I realized, you know, I need to stop dreading the marketing, and I just need to just go, I get to market a book and I get to help people to recognize and find me as a writer. And I think, and I forget who said this, and I wish I could remember, because I want to give this person credit because it was brilliant. She said, you know, she looks at, like, all the social media stuff, all the newsletters, as not a way to market her and her books, but a way to serve her readers. And I love mm-hmm. that kind of flip, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, well, yeah. How can I serve readers or other authors with this information? How can I make their day a little bit brighter because they got an email from me, they're on my list or whatever. And that really helped transform it. I mean, there's things I still don't love about them, but there's things that I feel better about doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think every communication is an opportunity to share with others and to serve others. And also for me, it's to share my faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every story I write, I want that him to be, you know, at the forefront of that. I want Jesus to be at the forefront of that. And that goes with the marketing as well. And the news, like you said, the newsletters and the social media posts. And yes, we have to put our books out there, but if I can draw one person closer to him through a story or through an encouraging word, through a newsletter, then that to me is eternal treasures in heaven. And it's purpose in my life. And that just means, that means the most to me.
Yeah. Now you do book trailers too, right?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So for, in case our listeners aren't aware, can you explain what is a book trailer and why did you start doing them?
Yes. So book trailers are, I like to think of a book trailer, not as an entire story in a video, because you don't want to give away. I think a lot of people in book trailers give away their entire story in the video. So I think for me, a book trailer is a sneak peek. It's like the hook of your book. You want to whet the person's appetite enough to where they'll go and they'll purchase your book, right? Mm-hmm. So some people do them too long. Some people do them too wordy. And I did too. When I first started doing them, I would do the whole back cover copy. And I've tried to do less of that. I want it to be more of a sneak peek to just to kind of grab people's attention, especially for romantic suspense. Now with romance book trailers, you can get away with a little bit more, you know, slower paced, sweet music, that kind of stuff. It depends on the type of book trailer you're doing as to what you're going to actually do. But it's a sneak peek into the story. And I started doing them because in 2020, I have a really good friend whose first book was going to debut with Love Inspired Suspense. And she had no way to promote it because of COVID.
Yeah.
And and that was back when you would go to bookstores and you would do book tours and fun things like that. And everything got shut down. And it was like, she was just like, well, how am I supposed to market this book? I can't even get into a bookstore, you know, now. So we came up, I wanted to do something for authors that would help to support them and promote Christian fiction. Because one, I think there's a lack of Christian fiction in the marketplace. I don't think there's enough clean reads out there. I think a lot of it is smut. Yeah. Some are good stories, but they're still smutty. You know what I mean? And yeah. I just felt like Christian fiction or clean fiction even and faith family stories weren't getting promoted enough. And I wanted to help do that. So I started doing book trailers for a lot of love inspired authors. And so it's just a lot of fun for me. I love putting them together. I love telling those stories through pictures and movement and helping them promote good, fun, entertaining, yet clean, faith-filled stories. So that's how I started with those.
Yeah. And they're a lot of fun. And I think your YouTube channel is with these notes. So my listeners can go check out some of her really cool book trailers there. And we are, I'd love to hear more, but we are out of time. So we have to end on that, but go check her out in the notes and you can see all the book trailers that she does because you host them on your YouTube channel, right?
Yes. Please subscribe.
Well, thanks for being on my show, Shannon. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. I really appreciate getting to talk to you.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. My guest today was Shannon Redman.
Now an excerpt from Secrets Left Behind by Shannon Redman. She pressed the door open and pulled a chain, turning on a light. Dust floated through the air, and a faint glow from the setting sun filtered through the window. The smell of sawdust filled the space, and scraps of wood littered the floor around a beautiful antique dresser seated in the middle of the room. "Is this the piece Jake's repairing for you?" Sky asked. "Sure is. Isn't it beautiful? My great-grandmother gave the dresser to my grandmother, and my grandmother to my mother, and then to me. He only has one more sanding and a final coat of sealer, then it will be finished. Sky ran her fingers over the smooth wood grain Jake's hands had restored. I never knew he was so talented.
I'm not.
Both women spun around at Jake's voice. He stood in the doorway, his hands folded across his chest. He shot a glance toward his mother, then refocused on Sky.
I didn't know you planned to come by.
His words seemed tense, and heat rushed to her face.
When you didn't show for Rami's party, I wanted to see if you were okay. Your mom was showing me around. I love all the improvements you've made to the place. The house and gardens are beautiful.
He let his gaze linger on her for a moment, and she shifted her weight underneath his observation.
Good to hear. Should make the place easier to sell.
Miss Reed straightened at his statement. What are you talking about? We're not selling this place.
Mom, we'll talk later about this. Right now, Sky, if you don't mind, I'll walk you to your car.
She dusted her hands against her jeans and gave Miss Reed a quick thank you, then moved past Jake into the night air. Lightning bugs danced through the field in front of her, elusive and out of reach, similar to the man still inside. Jake removed the tarp covering the wooden rocking horse he'd made for Romy and carried the gift onto the patio. Sky stood with her back to him, staring at the dark field beyond his front yard. She turned, folded her arms across her chest. Her gaze dropped to the rocking horse he'd made, but she remained quiet.
This is for Romy. Do you mind giving it to her for me?
You should be the one to give her the gift. She asked for you today at her birthday party. I told her you would be there.
He hated to disappoint Randy's daughter on her birthday, but with his decision to move, he didn't want to make his absence any harder.
Under the circumstances, I think the gift would come best from you.
Sky dropped her arms and took a step toward him.
Jake, what's going on?
The man who broke into the safe house escaped from the hospital today. A transport tech took him for his scheduled brain scan, and the man never returned. The officer who escorted him down got jumped in a back hallway by a couple of thugs, all with skull tattoos on their arms.
That's not good.
He motioned toward her car, his latest decision weighing heavy on his mind.
I'm sure he'll come after me once his injuries heal, and I can't let him get near you and Romy. I won't put the two of you in any more danger than I already have.
You've kept danger from us.
The attacks on your life didn't start until I reopened the case. I'm the one who upended your life in a selfish pursuit of Randy's killer.
Your decision wasn't selfish.
He held up his hand.
I'm moving back to Charlotte. I went for a meeting today. I can redirect Corello's attention to me and off you by running a task force with ops to make him forget all about you. I start in a couple of weeks. I think you have the right idea about witness protection, at least until we have Dante behind bars.
I can't believe you're leaving us, right when we need you most.
After last night, I'm only making things worse.
That's not true. You kept us safe.
You're not safe. My inability to control my temper only put you in more danger. Zane's right. My decisions lately have been reckless and fueled by vengeance. The only way for me to make things right is to leave. Zane's team will do everything to keep you safe until the investigation closes, but I'm no longer a part of the group.
But you're the only one I trust. You can't leave again. Not when I just got you back.
Her words stabbed at his soul. He loved her,
But sometimes a person had to let go of the things he loved.
I never meant to hurt you, Sky.
She stepped close to him. Leaving hurts me. You not in my life hurts me. Please don't go. I know I told you we couldn't be together, but Romy loves having you around, and we can figure out a way to make this work. I'm willing to be flexible, not place any demands on you, but you can't go.
Jake shook his head, picked up the rocking horse again, and slid the gift into her back seat.
I'm sorry, but I've made up my mind. This is what's best for you.
Then we'll come with you. I'll transfer to the Charlotte post office. With the Charlotte PD looking out for us, Corella will stay away.
I don't want you there, Sky.
His words snapped sharper than he wanted, but if being harsh kept her safe, then so be it.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.